and we can start a couple minutes early. My name is Mary, by the way. If you haven't heard me preach before, I've been doing this for a while, so I enjoy coming and visiting. So I'm going to open up a prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for this time and this place that we can come together and hear your word. We ask you, Father God, to be with each and every single person here tonight. You know exactly their needs. You know exactly what is going on in their lives. I ask you, Father God, to bring them favor, bring them peace, bring them understanding, and let them know how much you love them. We thank you and we praise you for your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Sorry, guys. They told me everybody was down here, and they all wanted to get going, so. But the blessing is for everybody in the building, right? Right. We're not greedy. God's got enough love and blessing for all of us and favor. Well, like I said, my name is Mary, and today, this week, as I've been thinking about all of you and getting a chance to see you tonight and get to share with you, I was really praying and saying, like, Lord, you know, what is a message you want for their heart? And I really felt like the Lord was putting on my heart to talk about the fact that God sees you and God hears you. And I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life, especially very stressful times, when I felt very much alone. Even though, you know, there's lots of people around me, and maybe other people that say they're going through the same situation, my situation was still very unique and different than maybe theirs. And I felt lost in the crowd. I felt like, how can anybody say they know what I'm going through? I felt alone, and I felt lost, and I felt lost in the crowd. And I often, you know, sometimes you wonder, does God actually see me? Does God actually hear me? And, well, yes, he does. We're going to get to that. But when you're going through it, you don't always know that. You don't always feel it. It's kind of like you get in your car and you drive it, and you know there's an engine in there, but you don't see it. You just have the effects of the engine driving you around. Maybe you can hear it, but I don't check the hood and look in there for the engine every day, right? I just trust that it's in there. And sometimes when we have God in our life, it's not like we can necessarily see him and touch him and feel him every single day in our life. And so there are days and there's moments and there's times where we do feel alone. I actually had a really good friend. We were talking about our faith and knowing God and being a Christian. And she said, you know, Mary, she's like, I was raised in the church. My parents were Christians. We would go to church. They sent me to Christian school. And she got married, you know, and had some rough times and some rough situations. And she said, you know, every night, faithfully, out of habit, out of routine, I would pray. And she said when she prayed, she would literally envision that she's here in bed and that all the way up in the sky, way beyond the clouds, beyond the stars, was God. God in heaven. He's way up there, far away from her. And what she would envision was that when she prayed, that sometimes, maybe if she prayed really, really hard, maybe if the situation was really, really dire, sometimes her prayers would actually make it all the way up to God. But she said she felt like on most days, they just kind of went maybe to the roof of her house, and that's as far as her prayers went. And she felt like God was far, far away, kind of overseeing the whole big world, and wasn't necessarily paying attention to her and her prayers. And of course, I had something to say about that, right? Because I wanted her to know that God does hear our prayers. As much as we think this is a great big world and there's so much going on, and there is, and that God is so far away up in heaven, that can he really hear mine? Does he really see me? Does he really know where I'm at? And whenever I have these questions, or whenever people have come to me and asked me these things, the number one place I like to look at is in the Word. If you notice my preoccupation with making sure we have Bibles, when we are going through hard times and we need our faith strengthened, the Bible is very clear. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God's Word has been given to us. We live in a day and age where it's printed. I can get paperback copies up the wazoo and give everybody a Bible. And if you have the time, which many of us need to make the time, right? You can sit and read it and study it and learn it. I always encourage people, start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's when Jesus came on the scene. If you don't understand the prophets professing that a Messiah was coming or why we needed a Messiah, then just talk to me. But the simple and short answer of it is we learn about it in Genesis. It is so very clear. God created Adam and Eve. And God created them so he could be with them each and every single day. And he would come and talk to them in the cool of the evening. But God didn't want robots that just were programmed to worship him and programmed to do everything right. He wanted us to have free will. And so he put the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And that, why did he call it the knowledge of good and evil? Because once you knew that you could pick good or evil, ultimately death would be brought in the world because he knew as humans we wouldn't always pick the right thing. So when Adam and Eve ate the apple, guess what?
They picked evil.
That evening in the garden, God still showed up. God's all-knowing. God knew. Adam, where are you guys at? And what did Adam reply? He said, I was naked, I was scared, I was afraid, and I went and hid myself. And that in that moment, God realized that when we chose evil, when we chose disobey God, the absence of God is what evil is. When we chose that we would separate ourselves from God. God didn't separate himself from man. God still showed up. And so he said, all right, I've got to make this right because you guys feel guilty now. And I've got to send my son. And it's so beautiful because Jesus talked about this when one of the Pharisees came at nighttime to question him and was really asking. It was Nicodemus, and he said, how can I have eternal life? And Nicodemus said, you've already been born of a woman. Now you must be born of the Spirit and accept who I am. And that's where the famous quote comes in. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But it doesn't stop there. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Do you get it? We have Jesus. We have the Messiah. Because Adam and Eve, when we feel sin, we want to be separated from God. And God said, look, I got to send you a Messiah so that now, when you do sin, you can confess, you can accept him. And it says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All. And he knew that all would sin. Because it also says in the Bible, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you are not a stranger to him. He knows our faults. He knows our past. He says, today is the day of the Lord. Today is a new day. Today you can start over again. And you don't have to feel alone. You don't have to feel like God doesn't hear you or God doesn't see you. Because just like Adam and Eve went and hid, he knew where they were. He gave them an opportunity to say what was going on. They were scared. They were frightened. They felt guilty. They felt naked. They felt dirty for the sin they had committed. And I don't know about you, but I felt that way too. Because I've made wrong choices. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I knew I was making a wrong choice. And I thought, can God really forgive me if I'm willingly doing this? And I know I shouldn't be doing this. And the guilt in the back of my head was racking my brain, right? But Jesus said, it says in John 3:17, but God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. He wanted to save me, even in the midst of those bad decisions. So I had to come to the Lord. I had to confess my sins. I had to repent and turn from them, right? And I'll tell you what, I didn't turn from them all immediately. Some of them, it took a while. Some of them were bad habits, telling lies or gossiping or whatever our sin might be. Sometimes we do it again and we're like, God, forgive me again. I can't believe I did it again today, right? Haven't you ever been there?
Yes.
And you're like, okay, well, let me think here. You know, maybe I got to stop talking to this person, right? Because every time I talk to this person, I end up doing something bad. Or I got to stop, you know, stopping by the corner store because I always buy something I shouldn't be buying, right? Sometimes we have to make the choice to change our daily habits. But I tell you what, in the midst of all that, his word is clear. He came because he loves us. He wants us to come to him right in the midst of where we're at. I'm going to read to you guys Psalms 139. I'm going to go all the way through 18 verses, and it's so beautiful. And I want you, to, as I'm reading this, to think of yourself, to think of your relationship with God, and think of these words. It says, God, you searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know me when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways, all my good ways and all my bad ways. He knows it all. And before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me, and you bless me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to understand. Where can I go from your Holy Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will be with me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like a day, for the darkness is as night to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Do you guys get that? It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what your thoughts are. God knows you. God sees you. God hears you. And that is hard. Because sometimes we don't feel it. You're there, God. If you see me here, then where are you? Because I'm in the midst of a storm, and I need your help. And sometimes we don't feel it the way we want to feel it. But that's where faith comes in. That's where trusting in the unseen comes in. That's believing that somebody besides yourself is looking out for you and work out all things for good. But guess what? We've got to take that step of faith sometime. And we've got to interact with our Maker. I love it in Matthew 7:7, where Jesus says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. Because that ask, A-S-K-S, seek, knock, requires some action on our part. Yeah, we go and we pray and we ask. But sometimes we have to seek out, right? And we're asking, okay, I'm going to go start seeking tomorrow. Help me find the right way. Yeah, maybe I found three different doors. Now I got to knock on all three doors. Which one's going to open? Sometimes all three doors we knock on don't, and all of a sudden one we didn't even know about opens, right? We don't always know God's ways. It says that it's mysterious to us in our understanding. But I still believe that someone made us, and that someone loves us, and that someone has looked at us all through the years and has put Christ's love to even have this place open, right? To have a place where we can come. Jesus was talking to the disciples and he was warning them about hard times coming up. And he said to them, storms will come, trouble will come, but don't fret because I have overcome. He said, you can have peace in me and knowing that. I love it because he doesn't say, don't worry because you can overcome it. He doesn't say that. He says, don't worry because I have overcome the world. I have overcome, and in me, you shall overcome. And sometimes we get so mad, we blame God for everything. We do. I have been like, seriously? The book says that you know all my days. They're all written in the book. So why didn't you make this not happen? But the free will that I have is the free will my neighbor has, and the free will that this person has, and the free will that person has. And I want to be able to have the free will to sleep in if I want to sleep in, and eat the candy bar if I want to eat the candy bar. But I don't want that guy to have the free will to do what he's going to do that's going to maybe ruin my life. And unfortunately, we live in a world where everyone has free will, and sometimes things happen that are beyond our control, and sometimes things happen where we've made the mistake. And we get frustrated by the outcome. of that free will. And that's when we have to turn to God and we have to say, Lord, this happened. This devil, the one that goes around prowling around to see who can seek and devour. It says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I tell you what, folks, he is doing a very good job of it. But the Bible says that our weapons are not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things. And how do we fight back? I love it because there's this whole passage where it talks about getting ready for battle, because in this world, you're going to have battles. It says, put on your breastplate of righteousness. And the Bible is very clear. It says, not your righteousness, right? Because my breastplate of righteousness would be pretty awful dirty, I'm telling you. But it says that when you're a Christian, you can take off your righteousness because it means nothing. It's never righteous enough. And you put on Christ's righteousness. So I get up in the morning and I put Christ's righteousness on. And I put my helmet of salvation on. So no matter what the devil tries to tell me about my thoughts, I can know I am saved. I am saved. You don't have to remind me of my past. You don't have to remind me of the thoughts I just had 2 seconds ago. I am saved. And Jesus Christ has filled me and he is with me and he has taken the punishment for my sins and he loves me. So I put that helmet on and it guards my thoughts. So whenever the devil wants to whisper about the things that I should be blamed for, I say, no, I am saved. I've got his righteousness covering me. And it talks about having your shoes shod with peace. You know how hard it is to walk through this world in anxiety and fear and doubt and worry? I don't want the peace the world gives. I want the peace that Jesus only gives. And that's what the Word of God says. That's what Jesus said. He said, I give you peace. Not as the world gives you, but as I give. I get to put on his shoes of peace. Now, when I'm walking around with all this stuff, I got his righteousness on. I've got his helmet on. I've got my feet shod with the spirit of peace, right? But I can't fight back. I can just stand there and take it. Devil, keep giving it to me. Keep giving it to me. World, keep giving it to me. Your free will choices that are going to hurt me, keep giving it to me. Well, after a while, I want to fight back. How about you? And you know what that passage says? You fight back with the sword. Who would like a big, cool sword, right? You got your armor on. Just think about those gladiator guys, you know? You got the metal on, got all the stuff, and they got the sheath. And they've got a sword, and I want a double-edged sword. So if I go this way, it cuts. If I go this way, it cuts. And the sword is our weapon. And a lot of us are leaving our weapons at home and they're sitting underneath our bed and they're sitting on the shelf and we don't use it. God's given us the weapon. You've all got a sword. And it's right here. The sword is the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, Jesus was pretty cool with his sword. I don't know if y'all read about that. When the devil came to attack him and he got out the sword and he hit him 3 times, it happened. If you read the beginning of some of the different Gospels, it says that Jesus went out in the wilderness for 40 days and he fasted. And the devil showed up and he wanted to fight him. And he had his helmet of salvation on. He knew who he was. He had his breastplate on. He is the righteousness of Christ, right? He had his peace. And the devil's trying to do all this stuff. And he didn't just take it. He fought back. And the devil said, I'll turn these rocks into loaves of bread. I know you're hungry. And he quoted scripture. And he says, the Word of God says, man shall not live on bread alone, but out of every word out of the mouth of God. And then the devil took him to a high place and said, do this, the angels will catch you. And he pulled out the Word of God and he quoted scripture again. And then the third time he showed him all the kingdoms. And he said, I'll give you all this. And he quoted the Word of God. When those times come in your life when the devil's tempting you, when you have got situations and you don't know quite what to do, you pull out the sword just like Jesus did. And you quote God's word. That is our weapon. We are not meant to do this on our own. We are not meant to be able to think of clever things to say and to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil on our own. We have to use God's word. That is our sword. That is how we fight back. And when you read that passage about the kingdom and the armor and the sword, there's one more weapon that we have. It says, then pray. Pray, pray in all situations, pray. And they will be like fiery arrows aimed at the enemy. So when you feel like you're in the battle for your life, yeah, we've got our defense on. You can know you're saved. You can know it's not your righteousness, it's God's. You can know that you can walk in peace. But when you want to fight back, when you're tired of taking the hits, that's when you get out the sword, and that's when you really begin to pray. And I tell you what, the peace that transcends all understanding will come upon you. And we read that in Philippians last time I was here. Remember, he said, pray on all occasions with thanksgiving, with petitions. Petitions mean you do it over and over and over again. So I hear people say, Mary, I tried that once. It didn't work. Petitions means you do it again and again and again. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we have asked of him. We can have that confidence. We can go to God and pray. Is it his will for us to be saved? Yes. Is it his will for us to be blessed? Yes. It is his will. The way he brings it about might not be the way we're thinking, but you can pray and ask for blessings. You can pray and ask for opportunities or whatever you're looking for. And guess what? If you pray something that maybe not be his will, it's not like he's going to get mad at you. So pray, 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 pray. And a lot of people say, but Mary, how do I pray? And I love this passage in John. In John 16, 23, Jesus was talking to disciples. I believe they had already at this point had the Last Supper, and he's kind of getting ready. Yeah, they had the Last Supper in John 13. So now we're in John 16. And he's been talking to them a lot because that's his last night with them. This is Thursday night or Wednesday night, however you know the Jewish calendar. And he knows that he's going to be arrested that evening. So this is really powerful. So what Jesus said to them, he says, in that day, because he's telling them what's going to happen after he dies and rises again. He said, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, and your joy will be complete. Did you guys get that? Once Jesus died on the cross and rose again, it was completed. The sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice was done. Now when we ask Jesus into our hearts, we become children of the Most High God. Now we can pray to Father God in the name of Jesus. So how do we pray? I've heard people pray in lots of different ways. I hear people pray to God. I hear people pray to Jesus. I hear people pray to the Father, to the Lord. And I tell you what, God's hearing your prayers. He knows your heart. But we also have knowledge, right? And when we know this, we can read that says Jesus said once he was going to rise again, you can ask the Father God in the name of Jesus anything. And we can now pray directly to the Father God and he's going to hear us. So is God hearing you? Yes. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And when Jesus got done teaching them, they went off to the garden, and he went off and he went a little ways, and he brought John and Peter and James with him. So John got to hear his prayers. And John was a very educated man. He started writing stuff down. We can thank the Lord that he was, because we have the word now. We can read it. And he did it some interesting things. He prayed for, you know, at one point he prayed for himself. We know that. He prayed for his disciples in John 17. And then he did something really cool, and I'm sure he knew John was right behind him, kind of keeping track. He prayed for you and I. I just think that's so cool. I think God is so cool that he would set that up. It says, the header of this, starting in verse 28 or 20, is Jesus prays for future believers. Do you guys get that? Are you a believer? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? Do you believe that an amazing God, the universe, created us and loves us enough that he sent a Messiah? He knew that these disciples were going to go and spread the gospel. And that one day, many, many years from now, there would be all these future believers. He prayed for us. I'm going to read you this prayer because does God see you? Does God hear you? Yes. And he knew all the way back then that you're going to be here one day. And he wanted you to know this. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. He just got done praying for the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, through the message of the disciples, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. I always thought that kind of rhymed. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Isn't that awesome? That he wanted us to know that we're loved. that we can have God's Holy Spirit in us, and we ask Jesus into our heart. Remember, he kept telling the disciples, they were like, well, you've risen again now, stay with us. And he kept saying, well, you don't understand, like evidently it's part of the whole God thing, I don't know how it works, but Jesus was down here, and he had to go back so then the Holy Spirit could come down. So, I don't know, maybe there's only got to be two people up there with the control board, I don't know, but, no. Right? But he said, look, I have to go because then the Holy Spirit can come. And when now God's Spirit is with us, now it's not just Jesus in the flesh. His Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit can be in each and every one of us when we ask Jesus into our hearts. And he said that Holy Spirit needs to come. He says, Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory and the glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. Why did Jesus do all this? So we would know how much God loves us. And that I myself may be in them. His Spirit, Christ's Spirit is in us when we ask him into our hearts. I don't know where you are in life. I mean, I know some of your stories because I've been coming enough that I've got a chance to chat with some of you. I don't know all of you. But I know that God knows you, and God loves you. Whether you can feel his love or not, doesn't change his love for you. I love all four of my kids, but I tell you what, it's a rare day that all four of them actually believe it. At least one of them is going through something. And mom's not always top on their happy list. That doesn't change how much I love them. And God the Father, unlike an earthly mother, isn't going to have that anger. Because whatever they've done, whatever we've done, Christ has already paid the price. Now it's all on us. Yeah, when we sin, if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I sin, I need to repent. I know. I feel conviction. I don't need to feel condemnation. That's what the devil wants me to have. He wants me to hold on to that forever, never forgive myself. But the Bible says that God forgives us. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And I still got to, deal with the earthly consequences of my sin. If I repent, if I, have an affair with my husband, he finds out about it, never trusts me again, ends up divorcing me, yeah, I can repent. I can tell him I'm sorry, but that doesn't mean I don't have to live out the consequence of my earthly decision, right? Earthly sin brings earthly pain. That's just the reality of it. But it doesn't have to interfere with my relationship with God. And it doesn't stop me from reading my word, right? I want all of you to know that you can believe. You can believe in Christ. You can create new habits. You can get out your sword every day and polish it up and get it ready. You can. But it takes work. It takes effort. But I tell you what, y'all put your shoes on today. All of you. When my three-year-old is trying to tie their shoes, it's a lot of work. They want to give up. Mom, just do it for me! Sometimes they just knot it up so bad so then they don't have to tie it anymore, right? And they just put the shoe on and the shoe just doesn't quite fit right anymore. But I tell you what, as they mature, as they grow up, all of my kids have figured out how to tie their shoes. And they all take a minute every day and put their shoes on before they leave the house because they know if they don't put their shoes on, their feet are going to hurt. We know that we can put God's word on. We know that we can take a few moments every day and read God's word. But we don't do it. I tell you what, there were years and years in my life where I didn't do it. And I was angry. I was frustrated. I tell you what, when the temptation came, I gave into it. I was a yeller. Oh, can you tell? Can you hear me in the back? You can ask my kids. At one point, my nickname was Monster Mommy. Can you believe that? So sweet. Man. But I tell you what, it's a rare day now that I get that angry anymore. Because when those temptations came to lose my cool, I had to turn to God's word. And it wasn't easy. In the beginning, I literally got out my phone and I got a different alarm clock in my house and I set it up and I set an alarm. And I thought about my day. I figured out when I would have a few minutes. I figured out how much free time I had, and I decided I was going to tithe 10% of my free time and give it to God. And, you know, my kids were little, and they would nap in the afternoon for about 2.5 hours, and I figured I'm going to give God 15 minutes. And I set the alarm. And I literally programmed it to say, appointment with God. And I asked myself, if I had an appointment with, a job interview, if I had an appointment with the doctor, wouldn't I, you know, want to respect their time and that opportunity? And if I wouldn't try to miss an appointment with somebody here on earth, how much more should I not miss my appointment with God? Now, that's not to say there were days, right, where I couldn't do it, like I had to be somewhere. But the days when I could be there, when that alarm clock went off and I read appointment with God, I thought, man, am I going to miss God today? He sees me. He hears me. But I never talk to him. I never read his word. I want him to hear me. I want him to see me. Maybe I should make an effort to see him. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should make an effort to make that appointment time. Instead of being mad all the time and frustrating, why aren't you here, God? Why wasn't I there? Why didn't I show up? He had his arms open all wide the whole time, right? Even that night, Adam and Eve sinned. God was there with his arms open wide. They're the ones that refused to meet with him that night. They're the ones that went and ran and hid. Was I ashamed of my guilt? Was I ashamed of my sin? Did I want to hide from God? Yeah, you know what? The first few times I met with God, I had to be honest with a few things. I had to pray. I had to repent. I had to look at my day and say, man, I lost it this morning. Kids spilled milk. You think, who gets mad about spilled milk, right? Well, I did that day. And I had to ask God, take it from me. Take away this anger. Where is this anger coming from? What did somebody do to me in my past that made me so mad that now I'm going to take it out on my kids? They have nothing to do with what happened to me. God, forgive me. Help me. He cares about those little things. He wants to help us in those moments. First time I did it, read a couple verses, prayed, went to get up. 1 minute had gone by. Man, what am I going to do for 15 minutes? You know what? Now, I have to set an alarm clock if I'm going somewhere. Right? Enough years go by, enough time spent with God. You want to be in his presence because, man, his love feels good. That peace I feel when I take that time to read and spend some time in prayer, I didn't feel it the first time. I didn't feel it the first month. I didn't feel what I feel now the first year. It takes time. It's like a relationship with somebody. Think about somebody you've been in a relationship with, right? Maybe the neighbor girl down the street. First few times you met her on the bus on the way to school, it was just, hello, hey, how are ya? But maybe by the time you're in high school, it's, hey, how are ya? Right? Relationships take time. We know that. Are you ready to have a true relationship with God Most High, who loves you and wants to be with you? Some of us have had it, and we haven't had it for a while. Why? Because we haven't been showing up. God's there. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. My prayer for all of you is that you will realize what my friend did. My friend and I had some good talks. She read a book I recommended. And one day I met her, and she said, Mary, remember how I told you how I think God's way up in the clouds? And that sometimes my prayers get there, but most of the time they just hit the roof of my ceiling and drop back down. She said, I had it all wrong. I thought my prayers, I had to be good enough, I had to be righteous enough, I had to pray hard enough, and maybe my prayers made it to God. And she said, I had it all wrong. He was sitting next to me all along. I just had to whisper, God, I need you. God, I love you. All she had to do was acknowledge and believe that he was right there with her all along. He saw us being knit in our mother's womb. You can't tell me he's not here right now. He doesn't know exactly what you're going through. And he wants to give you peace and joy while you're going through it. You might not be happy about something, but that doesn't mean that you can't have joy down in your heart. Being joyful in your heart and being happy about your situation are two different things. I gotta go. My time is up. But I really, really hope that all of you understand my heart and understand God's heart and how much he loves you. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one or ask somebody for one. I'm going to pray over all of you, and I just pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend and that you know how much God loves you. Father God, just thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this message. I know it's from you. It's not from me. It's from you, Father God, because I didn't even think up half of this stuff before I came in here. They weren't even my notes. I know it was you. I know that you want somebody in this room to hear this, for them to know they've been fighting and standing there and taking it for so long, and it's time for them to be done. It's time for them to get out the word and begin to fight back, not against the people, but against the spirit that wants to kill, steal, and destroy them. But God, you said you have come to give us life and life to the full. That's what Jesus said. And I believe it. I believe it because I've lived it. And he has given me a much fuller life than I ever had when I was angry and frustrated, confused and angry all the time. And I thank you for your word. And I thank you that it fills us and that it brings us joy and it brings us faith. And your word will not return back void, but it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I receive that. I receive that knowledge and I believe it because I have seen it. And I believe that these people will see it in their lives as well. Father, convict their hearts about times when they can get into your word, when the times when they can pray and believe, and times when they can talk to somebody if they have questions, and somebody will show them in your word. And that they won't stop the first time it doesn't work, or the first time they get frustrated, or the first time somebody doesn't give them an answer that makes any sense, but they will keep going. I thank you and I praise your holy name. I thank you for forgiving us and accepting us just the way we are. I thank you that it's not my righteousness, that I don't have to do anything special other than believe. And I thank you that you've given me an opportunity to go beyond where I'm at, and that today is a new day through Christ Jesus. I ask you, Father God, to be with them. Keep your angels around about them. Keep them safe. May your Holy Spirit be with them. Let no evil spirits affect them in any way. We curse them right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your blessings. And we thank you for this place of bringing us together. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please have a great night.